And then also just for camp. First week camp is crazy to think about, but it's almost over. They got a day and a half left, and then it's our turn. So we got, officially, we reached our youth goal of 35 teens. So we officially got 35 teens that's going to be there Monday. Maybe another one. I'm praying for another one to possibly sign up a little late, which I'm okay with. But the youth goal was 35, and I told them last Wednesday, we got 33. We'll start texting around. Well, then we got 34 on Sunday, and then I sent out another text and said, hey, we got 34. We can't just, you know, let it go like this. And then the teens did it. They texted, and they got another person in. But, again, I'm praying for another one. But I'm also praying just for, you know, what's cool about this, me and Zayra was talking. The past 2 years, we brought 26 people. And so this year, this is the most we've ever brought as far as teens go. But sitting there looking back, 2 years ago, we lost 10 people. Last year, none of those 10 people went last year. Well, then last year we lost 5 people, and those 5 people aren't coming this year. And this year we got 12 new people coming. So it's kind of cool how the Lord works, just keeps going and going. So just pray for next week at camp, and then as preacher said, if you're willing and want to, bring some type of snack as far as Gatorade, some electrolyte stuff, some chips, granola bars, stuff like that. You can drop them off anytime. But other than that, let's dive right into it. Proverbs chapter 1, I was sitting there. I went to a revival last night for Megan's great uncle was preaching. He's an evangelist, and so he was up in the Cleveland area. So me and Megan and Mari, a kid that comes here every once in a while, we drove up there. And last night it was cool how God, again, still works, and you know his blood still works. Amen. And so a 71-year-old man that they've been praying for, he got saved last night. And so this message, as I was going through, kind of just pushed and just clarified it. But the title for this message this afternoon is A Wise Man Will Hear. They said he's been going to the church off and on quite a while, and they said that he just thought since he's been coming, he was part of them. So last night, Megan's great uncle, Dana Williams, he preached a powerful message as far as going into Luke chapter 23 about, you know, the man on the cross. You know, he died, and, you know, Jesus didn't just die for us, but he died for everyone. And so he died for, you know, the sinner on the cross, the thief on the cross, and he explained it, and he went straight in for it. And man, I tell you what, sitting there, that church, her cousin is the pastor there, Jack Williams. He took over about 5 years ago, and man, they're going crazy over there. So this message that came, we're gonna just read the whole chapter, and then I'm gonna take parts of it out, and we'll go through. So the proverb of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice and judgment. And equity, the give subtlety, the simple to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall obtain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Remember that. We're going to come back to that. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto the head, and the chains about thy neck. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privately for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in the lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in thy way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, and they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privately for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse and the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and the fools hate knowledge. We're going to come back to that verse as well. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you, because I have called and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they come upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of the counsel, they despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way, and be filled with their own devices, for their turning away of simple, and they slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this wonderful day, and God, thank you for this opportunity. And Lord, I just pray now that you just hide me behind your cross, that you'd be the one that speaks. And Lord, I just ask that you just be with these prayer requests, Lord, just with Miss Wilma and just the doctor's appointment, that it will go well. Lord, be with Brother Rick and just with his back, and that you just ease the pain. And just, Lord, just be with Miss Jenny, and Lord, just allow her just to get back to herself. And Lord, just be with the camps. Lord, we know that many souls will get saved just because it's you. And Lord, you're the one that does the saving. We just plant the seeds. And Lord, we just ask that you just allow us to have great weather, allow us that the teens can have softened hearts. You just be with the speakers. Lord, that you just use them mightily. God, we just thank you, and we love you, and I pray. Amen. So, a wise man will hear. Verse 5, you see there, a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall obtain unto wise counsel. The Word of God is filled with verses that refer to man's need to listen. You know, I'm not a very good listener unless, like I said, if I hear my name, I'm like, huh? And I'm perking up, and I'm going to find it. But in the Bible, hearken is said 150 times. Hearkened in is 81 times. Hearkeneth is 2 times. Hear, 515 times. Heareth is 48 times. Hearer is 2 times. Hearing is 37 times. Ear is 118 times. Ears is 139 times. But listen is 1 time. And that brings the total of 1,093 times that here in the Bible it talks about we need to listen. You know, it's pretty cool. The famous saying is God gave you one mouth and two ears so you could listen. You know, sometimes I wonder, my parents told me that a lot, is they would look at me and say, hey, listen, listen, listen. And, you know, half the time I still didn't listen. And, you know, again, God gave us 2 ears to listen. But Jesus said many times in the gospel, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. He said in Revelation 8 times, he that hath an ear, let him hear. In chapter 2, 7, 2:11, 2:17, 2:29, chapter 3, verse 6, chapter 3, verse 13, 3:22, and chapter 13, verse 9. It strikes me as funny that God went from talking to people with 2 ears to just 1. You sit there and you think about that, is sometimes a wise man will listen more than they would speak. You know, there's a lot of times we just need to sit back and just listen to what the people are saying. And, you know, sometimes it will, you know, maybe strike your heart a little bit. And maybe you'll get something out of it, because there's times when we do too much of talking instead of sitting there just listening. And when we do more talking, you're not grasping it all in. You know, preacher's famous words is, listen and write it down. Because, you know, the thing is that if we're listening, well, you know, we're just human. We'll forget, a.k.a. myself. I forget a lot of things. But, again, if we're going to sit there and talk and try to talk over people, we're not getting anything. And so one of the key aspects of wisdom is listening. Why do some listen and others do not? You sit there and think about that. You sit there and try to have a conversation with somebody, and this is the new age, and you're sitting there trying to talk to them. And they're not doing, and then they're like, huh? Because they were too busy on here. They weren't focused. They didn't have anything. They didn't care enough about you to sit there and say, oh, let me put this down. Let me put it in my pocket. Let me do this so I can listen to the person that's talking. You know, every time when God's word is open, you should be ready to listen. And there's too much of this. Was, you know, sometimes I have to have music in the background just because of my kids, and you know, it just drives me nuts. As far as especially when I'm trying to just focus in, and then I hear all the, you know, stomping, because sometimes I go down in the basement, sometimes I'll be in the bedroom, and if you've ever been in my house, we got wood floors, and you just hear, and it drives me bonkers. My mother-in-law came in one morning, and I was like, the kids are asleep. If you want to be quiet, you know, you can take a nap on the couch, you can watch TV. I even cooked some breakfast for her, but I guess she don't like my cooking. She don't like my singing either, so it's okay. But as soon as she stepped in that, there goes Bodie. And I was like, well, I'm out of here. I got to go to work. Good luck. But it's the most annoyingest thing. But why do some listen and others don't? Why do some people have a greater desire to hear what God has to say and others seem to be completely, you know, not even interested in it? You sit there and you try to witness to somebody and they don't care nothing that you have to say. They're just ready to get you out of their face. And so this is number one, is a wise man will hear and it will be evident by their sincere appetite to the facts. A person needs to be hungry to what you have to say. So people have to be, you know, I love food. You know, I went to Wendy's 2 days in a row just because going to Cleveland, we left at 4 o'clock. They had amazing singers. I'm going to try to get them here. But we left. It was like 10:30 at night. So we went to Wendy's. It was good. Second night, the pastor offered, hey, I got some chicken and all that. And it was free. And I was like, ooh, free. Okay. Megan goes, no, I'm ready to go home. I had to pay for food again. But I was listening. She said, I'm ready to leave. I was listening. But a wise man will hear, and it will be evident by their sincere appetite for the facts. And you notice there, verses 1 through 8, as I told you, we're going to focus here on 1. But you see there in verse 8, my son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. But then you go back up to verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. You know, like I said a little bit ago, when we open God's word, we should be ready to be hungry. We should be ready to be listening to what God's going to try and tell us. You know, you sit there and think, and I was sitting there just thinking that this 71-year-old man that went to the revival and he's been going to the church off and on, he was hungry. It took the whole time. And when we went through 2 altar calls, and I was like, oh, man, this is going to be camp all over again. We're going to be there all night just on this altar call. But, man, when that man stood up with his wife was next to him, and she walked him right down to the aisle. And I tell you what, that church celebrated like nobody's business because, you know, they didn't just necessarily pray for him, but they just pray for somebody to be saved. You know, I was sitting there telling Xavier this morning, I never saw a church so excited. I'm just being honest with you. It was just something totally different. Literally everybody coming up to the front, giving the guy a hug, crying over him, praying with him, you know, sitting there just welcoming into God's family. But he was hungry. He had an appetite for God's word, and he sat there and listened and listened and listened, and he continued to come back. And the crazy thing is he even gave. I guess he's been given ever since he's been visiting the church. He would come up and he would give. Because they had the thing when we first were doing parking lot to parking lot. They got a bucket up front. And everybody comes up and just does their tithes right up front. And that's what the preacher thought. But when the preacher didn't see the envelope, I guess, that normally comes out, that preacher just dropped straight to his knees. It was just a cool thing to see. But he was hungry. You'd be shocked at how many people are completely uninterested in learning. Our text tells us that wisdom crying without. You look at verse 20 through 22. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates in the city. She uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity, and the scorners delight in the scorning, and the fools hate knowledge? You sit there and you just think about that. You know what wisdom is saying is, how long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? She's saying here, how long will your scorners delight in the scorning and the fools hate knowledge? Wisdom is applauded at the lack of the appetite for learning and for knowledge and for the facts and for truth. But it occurred to me that the first thing that is necessary for a person to listen is the appetite for the facts. You know, if you don't know God's word well enough, then you need to go home and start getting to the knowledge of it. Because the Bible does say, study to show thyself approved. If we're not going, we're not opening up God's word, listening, and sitting there studying, knowing what God is trying to tell us. Because the coolest thing is you can go through this whole life, and, you know, I'm not that old. The crazy thing is I'm turning 30 this year. I can't believe it. But knowing that I can literally open up God's word and it'll just tell me every little thing that I need to know. I don't have to go out to this world and sit there and search. I don't have to go out to the world and sit there and say, hey, what do I need to do here? Because I can just open up God's word and it will tell me exactly what I need to know and how to live a wonderful Christian life. You know, some of the teens, I was going to do another sermon, but man, I was going between these two, and just after last night, God confirmed it. But sitting there just thinking, the teens say, oh, it's just hard to live for Christ. Oh, it's hard to do this. Well, God didn't say it was going to be easy. He said, hey, who are you going to choose? Are you going to choose this easy life of the world that you can just go out just however you want and, you know, do whatever you want to do and say whatever you want to say? Or do you want to live for me? And, you know, again, I have a wonderful place for you in heaven. And so sometimes we just think it's just, you know, so hard. But if we sat down just for a second and just took a glimpse at, you know, what Jesus did for us and said, hey, you know, let's sit here and just think. God sent his son to die on the cross. He said, hey, I'm never going to leave or forsake, or I'm never going to leave you. Hey, I have a mansion for you. Hey, I carried your sins to the cross. Hey, you know, I got beaten and I got my beard plucked. I got stabbed in the side. I got my skin just completely ripped off. You sit there and think what all Jesus did for you. And we just sit here and be like, oh, it's just so hard. But have an appetite to be hungry. You know, they're not interested in emotions or opinions or people's feelings or scornful mockings. They love truth. It is amazing how many people have no appetite for the facts or for truth. It is essential that a person have an appetite for the truth of the Word of God before they will have any desire at all to listen. This is why it's so important when you go out door knocking and, you know, if you don't know, if they ask you a question, you don't know anything about God's Word, their appetite's completely out the window. I don't want you here no more. This is why it's so important to know. You know, if they ask you just the simple question, well, how do I get to heaven? If you don't know that, literally go home today, grab a tract off the back wall, and just read the back of it and memorize those verses. But I'm afraid our attitude many times is a lot like Pilate's here in John chapter 18, 37 and 38. 37 says, Pilate therefore said unto him, aren't thou a king then? And Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. But here's the important part. He says, to this end was I born, and for this cause came into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. But everyone that is in the truth heareth my voice. Goes on in 38, Pilate saith unto him, what is truth? You think of that, that's a lot of people in today's world. What is the truth? He goes on and says, and when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. The truth was staring him right in the face, and he didn't even pause long enough to just see it. Sometimes we're just so busy in life, we just got to stop. We got to sit there and just stop and just, what's around us? You know, you sit there and you think, you know, I love naps. I wish I could take them, but, you know, having three kids, I don't get to do that much anymore unless I'm on vacation. Or if Megan's home. But we just got to pause for a second. Because you sit there and you think, Pilate didn't pause. Well, what is the truth? What's the actual full truth? And so he asked, what is truth? And then he turned around and walked away from it. The one that said, I am the way, the truth, and the life was standing right in front of him, and he didn't see it. And that's just like everybody in this whole entire world. The man is right there. That's why we got missionaries. That's why we go out and do grow. That's why, you know, the main command, go ye therefore, but we fell at it. Just being honest. But number two, a wise man will hear, and it will be evident by a sobering aversion to failure. You notice there in verse 24 through 28. Because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at the calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh, when your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you. Then shall they come upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. The simple truth is, some people simply do not mind getting it wrong. But notice what words God uses here to describe the existence of those that will not listen. Number one is the calamity, verse 26. Then you see fear in verse 26 as well, the second part of it. And then you see in first part of 27, desolation. Then destruction. And then it goes on to the last part of 27 is distress and anguish. And then you go on to 28, first part is, they shall call upon me, but I will not answer. Then it goes on to the second part of that is, they shall seek, but they shall not find me. They hate knowledge, and they did not choose to fear the Lord. Isn't that people today? They don't fear the Lord at all. You can see all these people out there. I was sitting there talking to a guy at Miss Jean's, his name's Matthew, funeral. And I told him, like, it scares me to tell people that I'm a Christian. And this is why, is because there's so many people around us that says I'm a Christian, but yet they out there, they cussing, they drinking, they wearing, some of the women are wearing some booty shorts. You sit there and they sit there and wear all these little belly shirts and everything, and they say, I'm a Christian. I told him, I was like, I'd rather be called a Bible-believing Christian. Just because to me, there's two different things. You can sit there, there's so many people that says, I'm a Christian, and they're still going straight to hell today. You know, it's a complete sad thing to me just because, I'm a Christian, and then, oh, that's cool. But now you have to say, what kind of Christian are you? Their hearts completely fooled by the world because they're too much in the world when the Bible says that, hey, you can either live for the world or live for me, but you can't do both. And there's too many people that's living for the world, and they say, I just want a little bit of this. And we know God's word is that we can't do that. But let's keep going here. So they choose not to fear the Lord, but they would not have counsel. They despise all my reproof. They shall eat the fruit of their own way. Man, I tell you what. Sometimes I like doing things my way, but I tell you what, when I do things my way, it just fails. But when I do things God's way, it completely it's amazing how it works. I'm just being honest. They shall be filled with their own devices. They turn away from the simple shall slay them. The prosperity of the fool shall destroy them. But the thought of going through life failing repeatedly does not seem to bother some people. I tell you what, when I was called to ministry, right after I graduated in 2013, and then finally I surrendered in 2018, I tell you what, one thing after another failed. And it took me a long time to realize it, because going from the working at Goodwill, being a supervisor there, and they wanted me to do all this stuff, but I didn't like the pay, and I said, no, I'm okay. And I went to college for a little bit, and that failed because I wasn't interested in any of that. And then I went to the police academy. I actually really enjoyed the police academy. I would go through it all over again just for the training purposes. But then, you know, I failed the test at that, the state test, not the physical test. It might look like I probably fail it now, but, you know, I'm trying to get back into shape. But then electrical school, I went through all these years of electrical, and then I got married, and I missed too many days, and so they failed me out of it. And I was like, whatever, I don't need it anyway, because my dad's a master electrician, you know, I just follow him. And then if I run into an issue, I just pick up my phone, Dad, this is going on, what do I need to do? And he tells me what I got to do, and I just, thanks, Dad. But finally, when I said, you know what, when I finally surrendered to ministry and I called a preacher, I tell you what, life's been so much better. I'm just being honest with you. You sit there and think, when you try to do things your own way, you're going to constantly and constantly and constantly fail until you give everything to the Lord. And once you give everything to the Lord, everything just starts falling into place. It's literally like a puzzle. You know, I sit there and think, me and Megan, that's the first thing. I know I said this before. The very first thing I told preacher when he says, hey, I want to hire you, the one thing that every preacher, every staff member said, no, never let money be the issue, because God will work it out. And ever since then, I got on staff, and Megan's been kind of like part-time or whatever. That's one thing I sit there, and I don't know why I think about it, but I do. I still do. God, I don't know how I'm going to pay this. God, I don't know what I'm going to do here. But I tell you what, God, every time, every month, he comes through. Something comes through. Oh, so something that I don't need anymore, I sell it. Oh, can you come do this for me? Well, yeah, that's easy. I'll come do it. I got time today. He always supplies, but put the puzzle pieces together. Let God do the doings, and you just walk. You follow him. But they want to make 100 on every test, but others seem to others don't seem to care if they get the wrong answer. I tell you what, when I get something wrong, I get irritated. You can ask Nancy. I was thinking, we had our tests for the Bible Institute, and I got the same stinking questions wrong that I got wrong on my quizzes, and then I got them wrong again, and I just feel like a complete idiot. But there's people that love to fail. They think it's okay. Oh, man, I got a 60 on my test. Yay! Go to the high school or the middle school in the schools today, and that's the kids, unfortunately, in that time. They don't care. It's just a sad thing. When I was in school, I hated to get a big red X on my answer, and I still do. Preacher puts a big red X on it. I'm not saying, you know, I'm not perfect, but I know I'll get some wrong, but it just irritates me when I get the same questions wrong over and over. It bothered me to raise my hand and answer a question and get it wrong. It bothers me as a Christian when I mess up. It bothers me as a husband when I do something that hurts my marriage. It bothers me as a dad when I make a decision that has a negative effect on my children. I thought of getting it wrong as a pastor and a leader really bothers me. But what is shocking is how many people do not mind a life of failures and have no interest in learning how to get it right. You sit there and you just think about that. There's so many people out there that God could completely use them, but one, they're lazy. Two, they don't want God using them at all. Three, they just, you know, just want to sit down and just be comfortable. When God specifically says, hey, go ye therefore, and you know, you got to get out of your comfort zone. You got to do something besides sit in the same seat over and over and over, do the same things over and over and over. Because I tell you what, Bud gave me a recipe for some ribs. And I ain't gonna lie to you, I always do something different. I still do the 3-2-1, but then sometimes I'll add a little bit of honey. Sometimes, you know, this last time I put a little bit of our maple syrup that we got out of our trees. Sometimes I'll put a little bit of barbecue seasoning. Sometimes I'll put actual barbecue sauce on it. Sometimes I'll put a little bit of habanero seasoning on it. Sometimes I'll put a little bit of sweet preacher that Megan got to me because she says I'm a sweet preacher. But that's a different story. But we got to change things up. Quit getting comfortable where you're at and do something differently. Number three, a wise man will hear and it will be evident by a strong aspiration for favor. In Proverbs 13:15, it says, a good understanding giveth favor, but the way of transgressors is hard. Going back a few chapters of Proverbs chapter 3, 1 through 4, it says, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For the length of days and the long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. I don't know about you, but I want God to smile on me. I want God's hand upon my life. I want to be, I want God's blessing. You know, I don't know about you guys, but I don't know if I could live life before I got saved, back when I was running from God, because, you know, I was a complete fool. And I was sitting there telling some on the way to the revival on Monday. Me, Xavier, Jaden, and Amari went Monday, and then me and my wife and Bodie and Amari went yesterday. And so I was sitting there telling Monday, you know, I was a bad kid. The pastor there, her cousin Jack, he went to prison. He got incarcerated and everything because he was a dope dealer. And so he told all the teens that went, he says, look, keep your eyes focused on God. Don't do anything different, because at your age, at 19 years old, I was just going into prison. And he's like, he told him, I love you guys, but keep your eyes focused. That's the same thing we got to do. Keep our eyes focused. Just because we're not in prison, but we're not in jail, but we are for sure in jail of our sin. Our sin's holding us back from every little thing, and it could just be the same sin every single day, every single week, every other week, whatever it is. The same sin comes back into your life, but do you allow it or do you push it to the side and say, no, God's on my side? What do you do? But notice there in chapter 1, the Proverbs, the very last verse there is 33. It says, but whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. It's very important there, because you sit there and you think, the very end of that, I just love it. But the very beginning is very important to me. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely. No, if we're so focused on God, God's not going to allow the evil to come in. you know, things might come upon us, but if we're so focused and we're zeroed in, so if you ever shot a gun and you put your eye through the scope and you're just zeroed in, looking at your target, and when you shoot, you don't care about anything else around you. That's how dialed in we need to be with God. Sit there and just focus on the target. And the target should be, you should be praying for souls. The target should be your prayer life. The target should be your Bible reading. The target should be your family member, maybe that hasn't been in church in a long time. The target should maybe be your spouse, maybe praying with them. The target should be maybe your grandchildren, your children, whatever it may be. But you should have always have something in that target ready to go after, because God told us to go. But again, but whosoever, or whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely. That sure beats the long list of troubles that will befall those that don't listen. You see there, we already read it, I ain't going to reread it, but you see there in 26 through 33, I will also laugh at your calamity and I will mock when your fear cometh. But you look, notice the end of chapter 1. And shall be quiet from fear of evil. It doesn't say that they will be quiet from evil. It says that shall be quiet from the fear of evil. Meaning they don't have to live their life dreading failure and trouble, but they can live their life in peace and confidence, knowing they will not experience failure and trouble because they've all listened. The Bible specifically says, hey, God's never going to leave or forsake you. Well, he obviously says, hey, if you listen... Listen, gave us 2 ears, listen, all because they incline their ear unto the voice of God, simply because they listen to the word of his truth. Go over to Proverbs chapter 2. We're going to read 1 through 12 quickly. It says, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if they criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom out of his mouth, and cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walketh uprightly. He keepeth the path of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, and yea, very good path. When wisdom entereth into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, but to deliver thee the way of evil man from the man that speaketh froward things. It's very important there. Chapter 2, verse 1 just tells you everything. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee. It's very important. If you can get the person, get them with a hungry appetite. Allow them to know that you have the knowledge, that you know the truth. We all know the truth in here. I know everybody's testimony is we've been baptized and we're saved and been baptized. And you sit there and think, is now we got to get them. Now we got to get them with an empty appetite and say, man, I tell you what, on Sundays I'm ready, I'm hungry for the Word of God. On Sunday night, I'm hungry for the Word of God. On Wednesday, I'm hungry for the Word of God, because this world is so evil that it just beats you down, that I come in with an empty appetite and I'm just ready to eat. Imagine what everybody else around feels like as well. You go, half these people around here don't even go to church anywhere. They'd say that they do. Just for an example, a guy over here says, oh yeah, I'm the lead worship at my church. Well, I haven't seen you left to go to church in the past few Sundays, my friend. But he won't come here because we ain't got no drums for him to play. But you sit there and you just think about that. There's so many hungry people out there. But first we got to tell them the truth, the real truth, not the world truth, but the Bible truth, God's truth. And then you sit there and you think, it goes on. And, okay, well, I got the truth. Well, what's next? Get out of your comfort zone and just get them. Don't let Satan confuse you. Let God grow you. lastly here, and I'm going to be quiet, is verse 10 there on chapter 2. When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. Every time we open up God's word, the truth, every time I think of that, I think of, you know, I'm going to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth. Is just, you just think, God's word, it's wisdom. Listen to gain wisdom. Don't listen to the world, because when you have one ear in the world and one ear in church, it's never going to work out. But when you have both ears, listening to God's word, listen to the man of God preach God's word, when you listen to the man of God teach God's word, you'll come out of here and you're ready to go. You're fed spiritually here. And so, sit there and you just think, is God says, hey, a wise man can grow. There's no such thing as, oh, I can't get wise. Open up God's word and you'll get wise.